Thank you so much, choir. Beautiful singing today about the cross. And that's what Palm Sunday is all about. All over our world, Christian pulpits are preaching about the saving work of Jesus on the cross. And this pulpit is no different today, although the text for today's message is probably a text you've never heard preached from before, and certainly not one that has been chosen for Palm Sunday. But I think you'll be blessed today as you have your Bible open on your lap or to your side to the Old Testament book of Judges. Judges chapter 4, verse 21. We've been enjoying this study in this Old Testament book that we've entitled The Justice League. And we've worked our way up to chapter 4. We looked that first Sunday in chapters 1 and 2 and asked the question, whom are you in league with? And whoever your friends are will determine your success or your failure in life. And then last Sunday, we looked at empty-handed heroes, three of them in particular, the first three judges of the Bible. And today we look at the wonder of a woman, a very special woman that is found here in Judges chapter 4. But to set Judges chapter 4, we need to see what was going on in the life of God's people. And so look with me there in verse number 1. If you have your Bible open there, give me a loud, hearty amen.
Amen.
It says, when Ehud, you remember him from last Sunday, he was that second judge, that left-handed hero because of a right-hand handicap. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. This is the repeated pattern throughout the book of Judges. From beginning to end, you can see this cycle repeated over and over again. This is now the third time we have seen this pattern repeated, where the children of Israel fall into sin, and then that leads to their slavery, which leads to their repentance and crying out to God for deliverance. And in each and every one of those times, God, by His grace, raises up a deliverer, or as it's called here in this book, judges, who delivered them from their sin. You would think that they would be so grateful that they would continue to live a life that pleases God, but true to form, they fall back into sin. And chapter 4 is no different. And we see the ultimate consequence of that sin in verse 2. Look at it, every eye. Judges chapter 4, verse 2. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. Sin always leads to slavery. The Bible says in John 3:23, we have all sinned, and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And we know that as a consequence of that, that we are in bondage to sin, just as these children of Israel were in slavery. And that second sentence of verse 2 mentions a name that will figure very prominently in our story. It says, the commander of his army, of Jabin's army, was Sisera. Remember that name because it will figure very prominently in this story of redemption. Now, what God does in the midst of this heartache and heartbreak is raise up a deliverer. He raises up a judge, and a very unusual judge at this point in the life of Israel's history. I've called her here a heroic housewife. That's right, we're speaking of a lady that God raised up to be a deliverer and a judge. And there are actually two housewives that are heroic in Judges chapter 4 and 5, and it is this second heroic housewife that God does a wonder through. But let's read about that first housewife to begin with. In verse 4, it says, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at the time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. What a special woman Deborah was. It reminds me, and it should remind you, of those women who have influenced you toward the cause of Christ. Many of you go all the way back to your mothers and your grandmothers. How grateful I am for a godly mother who taught me the Bible, who lived it before me, took me to Sunday school and church where I heard the gospel and where I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But the list of influential women in my life does not end with my mother. It continues with my sister and on to those women who were my teachers throughout my growing up years, teachers in public school, teachers in Sunday school. And that list continues on with dear ladies that I am in partner in the ministry with. How grateful we are here at First Baptist Noonan for Miss Brenda Clifton and Miss Claire Whitnock, who share the ministry with us here, and many other ladies that I've served with throughout my ministerial career. We are blessed by the influence of women like Deborah here. And we read more about Deborah when we go on into verse 5. Look at it here. It says, verse 6, then she, Deborah, sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops in Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera. Remember I said watch his name. We're going to track his name throughout this story. Very important person in this story of redemption. Remember Sisera, it says here, is the commander of Jabin's army with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon. And I will deliver him into your hand. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. Like today, biblical manhood had fallen on hard times in the time of Deborah. And Barak, like a little scared schoolboy at his mother's knee, says, I won't go to school today unless you hold my hand and go with me. Well, the story continues in verse number 8. And Barak said to her, or actually verse 9, and she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah was not speaking of herself. She was speaking of the second heroic housewife. And if we fast forward to verse 21, we'll see that second heroic housewife. It's our text for the day, Judges 4, verse 21. Then Jael, Heber's wife, this is the second heroic housewife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him. Who is him? It is Sisera, that wicked commander of the Canaanite army. You see, he'd fallen asleep in the tent. So she takes this hammer in one hand, a tent peg in the other, sneaks up on this evil commander, and what does she do? It says she drove the peg into his temple, and it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. A heroic housewife. God did a wonder through this woman. And what is so interesting about Jael and her act of heroism is that it was prophesied all the way back in the first book of the Bible. You might want to keep your place here in Judges chapter 4 and go with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Throughout the centuries of time, many Bible students and theologians have called Genesis 3:15 the proto-evangelium, which means the first gospel announcement. You might have been under the false notion that the first gospel in the Bible was Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. No. The first gospel announcement in the Bible is in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis 3:15, in what has been called the proto-evangelium, the first gospel announcement. And what a wonderful promise Genesis 3:15 is it foreshadows not only what Jael did in Judges chapter 4, but is ultimately fulfilled in what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. James Hamilton is a Southern Baptist theologian that God is using in a wonderful way. He is one of our own. He received his PhD from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and he was professor at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary on their Houston campus. And today, James Hamilton, one of our own, a conservative Southern Baptist theologian, is a professor of biblical studies at, get ready for this, Harvard University. Wow. I am encouraged that Harvard University would hire to teach Bible not only a Southern Baptist, but a conservative Southern Baptist. And Dr. James Hamilton has written on the text that I just shared with you in Judges chapter 4, verse 21, and he says that it was prophesied, first of all, in Genesis 3:15, and its ultimate fulfillment is of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. Let's look at the first gospel announcement, Genesis 3, verse 15. And to set it up, you'll remember that Adam and Eve have just sinned. They have fallen from God's grace. And so God now speaks to the devil, and he curses him in this prophetic passage, Genesis 3:15, when he says, God speaking to the devil, "And I will put enmity between you, devil, and the woman, between your seed," he's speaking to the devil, "and her seed," capital S. What is that referring to? It is a prophecy about the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any high school biology student can tell you that a woman does not have seed. Only males have seed. The woman has eggs. And so when the translator capitalized the word S here, he fully understood that this was the first gospel announcement, the prophecy about Jesus, which would also be foreshadowed in what Jael did in Judges 4:21. Go on here. Speaking of that virgin-born seed, it says, "He," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "shall bruise," or a better translation of that word bruise is crush, "your head, and you," Satan, "will bruise his heel." What is that prophesying? It's prophesying not only what Jael did in Judges 4:21, but in the ultimate fulfillment of this, of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. What did he do then? He crushed the head of Satan. Yet his own heel was injured. Now, which is a worse injury? To have your head crushed or to have your heel bruised? Yes, Jesus had the nails in his feet. He had the nails in his hand. He had the crown of thorns on his head. He had the spear thrust in his side. But when Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross, he crushed the head of Satan. And that's the symbolism of the book of Judges. Because Sisera symbolizes Satan. Jael symbolizes Mary. And the tent peg that she drove through the wicked commander's skull was no less than Jesus himself. You might be surprised to know this, but two prophets in the Old Testament said that Jesus would be a tent peg. The first one was Isaiah. Isaiah 22, verse 23, prophesied this about Jesus. God said, "I shall fasten him as a peg in a secure place." Zechariah in Zechariah 10:4 said this about Jesus. From him, God the Father, comes the cornerstone. We're used to Jesus being identified as the cornerstone, but not as the following statement. From him comes the cornerstone, from him the tent peg. So what Jael did in Judges 4:21 was a historic harbinger that went all the way back to the prophecy of Genesis 3:15 and was a partial fulfillment of what would happen at the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. Well, go back with me to the book of Judges, this time chapter 5. Judges chapter 5 is an interesting chapter of the book of Judges. It is a commentary on Judges chapter 4. It's actually a song that celebrates what God did in Judges chapter 4. And if you look there at Judges 5 verse 24, you'll see that the heroic act of Jael is being commended. She is being honored. And I call her, as a third point here, a humble honoree. Speaking of Jael, it says in Judges 5:24, "Most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Blessed is she among women." Does that remind you of a New Testament verse that commends the Virgin Mary? It should. In Luke chapter 1 and verse number 42, when Elizabeth heard that her kinsman, Mary, was carrying the Son of God, she gave the same commendation, word for word, as is given for Jael in Judges 5:24, when she said in Mary's hearing, "Blessed are you among women." Did that give Mary an arrogant and prideful feeling? No. All you have to do is read the rest of the Gospel of Luke chapter 1 and see that her response in the face of honor was humility. Luke chapter 1 and verses 46 and 47, Mary's response to this honor was, "My soul magnifies the Lord." It's not about me. It's all about Him. She continues to say, "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Even though Mary was honored and blessed more than any other woman on all the earth and in all of human history, she understood that she needed a Savior. Just like you and me, we have fallen into sin. And that sin has led us into bondage just like it did the children of Israel in Judges chapter 4. And we cry out in repentance, "God, deliver us." God has raised up a deliverer. God has raised up the ultimate judge. And He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will free you from your sin. On this Palm Sunday, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Oh, dear God, how we do want to thank you today for your grace, for your mercy, for your love for us, how wonderful your gospel message is, that you would give it to us in the first book of the Bible before the dawn of creation, and that you would typify it and symbolize it for us in this wonderful book of Judges. And Father, I ask today if there is anyone here who has never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, that on this Palm Sunday they would come in repentance and that they would receive your free offer of grace. Father, I pray for others who are in this building, those that are struggling with other decisions. I pray that you would move in their lives. Maybe it's to join the life of this church. Father, I pray if you're calling them to First Baptist, that they would come in obedience to you. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.